This is a Doxcast, not an Argos Soxcast, or a Bagels and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another saga-ending episode of the Doxcast. I am your co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with me, as always, is the risen Rich Early. Rich, how are you doing tonight?
I'm very good. I'm excited for being back on the Doxcast. We haven't done these for a little while, and so we're doing a night of a thousand stars for the Doxcast. We just did a 2019 review episode. Now we're going to talk. There's a new movie. I went to the indie movie house recently to see this movie called Star Wars.
Yeah.
Episode 9, The Rise. You guys may not have seen it, because it was, you know, all right.
Well, I was just confused that there's 9 of these.
Is there 8 more?
Yeah. So, anyway. But we're here with a whole host of people to talk about Star Wars Rise of Skywalker on another episode of the Doxcast. We're here with Darren Gregson.
Hello.
Brad Meixner.
That's me.
And John Leighton.
How's it going, everybody?
And Josh. And everybody here. Let's not spoiler ourselves. Like, you've all seen it. Everybody at this table,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. And I think we should very clearly get out. If you're watching this, we're going to talk spoilers about this movie. We were going to do something a little different. Like, everybody on the internet reviews this movie and does breakdowns. But we're not going to do that. Be aware that as we discuss it, we're going to openly talk about the story if necessary, is all, right?
Right. You know, so. Yeah, I think overall our goal is not, like you said, not to get into it too far in depth.
Nope.
And look at specific scenes and lines and those sort of things, but
analyze but all 76 seconds of Rose Tico's screen time, yeah, you know, things
right.
like that.
Yeah, but they're very well may be spoilers. We, like you said, we're just going to talk about it freely, so
yeah.
So beware.
More, I'd say, our goal for tonight is to get really philosophical about the Star Wars saga as a whole or some of its pieces.
Sure.
And not even philosophical about, like, Disney versus Lucas or whatever. More like, what was going on? You know, these movies came out over 42 years. That's an insane amount of time. And, I mean, I'm the only one at this table because I'm old. I saw the first one in the theater and I saw the last one in the theater. You know, and that's really cool.
What about the other 7?
That's it. Nope. I only go okay. to the. I All don't right. like the middle.
Beginning and the end.
Yep. That's it. 4 and 9 yep. in the theater.
That's when it. I buy a book, I read page 1 and the last page, and that's what I do.
You got so, it all.
Yeah. So.
Did you almost go to see Return of the Jedi? Then you're like, wait a minute.
What
if there are more? Yeah.
So yes, that's what I think we're gonna do. But we'll kick it off by going around the table. And just let's just start on. We'll start. Josh, are you okay? You want to? Everybody's gonna just. Again, Josh isn't gonna give us a 15-minute lecture review, but he's gonna tell us about his movie experience for Rise. And
all right,
and,
I'll put my notes away.
Yeah.
My overall impression of it. It was my least favorite of the new trilogy. I think that. It was still very entertaining. I think it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I could sit here and go into depth about the things that I didn't like. But it's like, you know, it's when you read those reviews and it's like, I give it 3 stars. Here's all the things that are wrong with it. And you're like, is that really a 3-star review? It feels like that when I start going. So I'm glad we're not going into that because it really makes me sound negative. But no, I think it was a fine... It did a fine job of wrapping things up. I think just an overview look at it, I do think that they sacrificed a lot of good character moments to achieve wrapping all those things up. But I was not disappointed. And I think, like I said, I think it was a good movie for all of its faults. How's that?
Yeah. To your point, I just want to mention that when Last Jedi came out, we effectively did a 2.5-hour podcast doing exactly what you just said, right? Of nitpicking and all these different things, and I do think that we learned from that, not just us, but as a society. But we'll talk about that philosophically as we go along. So, John.
I enjoyed it. I try to go into these movies with the childlike wonder that I think the movies are meant to be for. Mm-hmm. And it delivered on that aspect. There were definitely some points where you're like, huh? Okay, that happened. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it wrapped up well what it was given. I think if there would have been some more directorial continuity amongst the entire new trilogy, it would have helped. But I enjoyed how it tied things up.
Bob Iger talked about that in an interview recently and admitted that he took responsibility and said, I screwed this up pretty much from the beginning. So when we bought Pixar, there were already Pixar movies in development. There were scripts done for future Pixar movies. And he kind of pushed Luca. He felt he pushed George a little too fast. And then, you know, when they threw his storyboards away. Well, the problem was, too, like, they spent $4 billion. They couldn't wait 5 years while they tried to figure out what they wanted to do. And so, yeah. So, Bradley?
I enjoyed the film. I mean, it felt incredibly rushed to me. That'd be my biggest concern, biggest complaint. The other one is when I went to it, I ended up lucky enough to sit by the white frat boy equivalent of Woo Girls that two of them talked throughout the entire film, loud enough for me to make out, you know, their conversation. So that was very distracting. And, that's not why I'm not saying this is the greatest film of all time, but it's definitely, you know, their being close enough proximity to me that I had to hear everything definitely has weighed something on the one viewing I've had of the film. But I did enjoy it.
Do you think you're going to see it again?
I will. Well, I mean, it's like, at this point, you know, not that I'm a tool for Disney, but I mean, I know I'll end up buying the Blu-ray, even though it's going to be on Disney Plus in, you know, 6 months. So, like, I will watch it again in the theater.
My one comment specific to you is to think about whether or not, you've only seen it once so far. Can you just anecdotally, with other ones, would you have seen the other ones more than once by this point?
No. I mean, it's...
Okay, so that's pretty typical.
For I watched it Saturday, the Saturday it came out.
Sure.
So we're only, what are we?
Just over a week.
9 days removed from that for me or whatever.
Nope, I was just curious.
So, yeah. So.
Darren?
That I enjoyed it. Amy and I actually watched we went on Christmas Day. So Monday we watched Force Awakens, Tuesday we watched The Last Jedi, and then we went to see Rise of Skywalker on Wednesday. And I enjoyed it. And because I did that, I felt like the story was fresh in my head. The characters... the continuity through, it's not perfect through all of the movies, but it I felt like it gelled well as a trilogy, in my head, more so than the original trilogy. There's just something about particularly the last one, Return of the Jedi, that I just doesn't feel. There's just something about that doesn't feel right. I can't explain it. I was trying to talk to a customer the other day. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. A lot happens. It's very fast paced. I mean, I know we're not going to talk specifics, but it was a lot of information. But I enjoyed it. Not a perfect movie, but like John, I go in there with this, like, this is just entertainment. It's not for me to overanalyze it. I like the characters. The special effects are good. It made me laugh. And because this, and for spoilers, I'm not usually okay with spoilers, but for some reason in Star Wars, I just wanted to not know. But one of the things I talk about is, like, I watched the Star Wars movies, the originals, long after they came out. So by the time I watched Empire, I knew that Darth Vader was Luke's father. So there was no surprise there. So I got some surprises in this one, and I really enjoyed
it. Is that because Homer Simpson came out right in the line?
Yeah, he was like, who would have thought? Who would have thought? Yeah. I don't remember that one. No. Yeah. So, yeah. just the positive, like the feeling I get from these movies is the fact that Amy and I watched all three together, and it was something we shared, and yeah. we're going to go and watch it again. We'll get the Blu-ray and we'll just enjoy them for what they are, and I just really enjoyed it, and there you go. So
I think it's weird. I agree with you on Return of the Jedi. It's there's something that's different about that movie
yeah.
than the other movies. But yeah, I mean, for me, I learned a lot after The Last Jedi, and I learned a lot from Josh, and I learned a lot from Steve DeCray, who, if you go back and you can find that, which I don't recommend, but you know, there were scenes in that movie that I was all over. And you know, one of the things Steve was saying in the chat was that was just cool though. Right, and I was like, "No, but it, you know, it wouldn't work, and it changes this, blah blah blah." And Steve's like, "Yeah, but it was just cool," and like that, you know. Believe it or not, I do listen when people talk to me, and so on. You know, that really sunk in.
Silent dissent for those of you who listen to the audio later. Yeah.
It sunk in, and then Josh also recently. We were talking about Last Jedi and getting ready to see Rise of Skywalker, and Josh, you know, said, well, I sat down to Last Jedi, and right away in the opening crawl, you know, it said this, and so then I just rolled with it, you know, and I thought, yeah, you know, like, and so I really enjoyed this movie more than it deserves, and more than my old analytical brain would be happy, you know, like. 28 to 40 year old me right now is screaming like, what are you doing, you know? But I don't know, I had a lot of fun, and similar to Darren, I mean, I got to go to this movie with my wife, I sat next to my nephew, my whole family was there, all but one brother, everybody was there, you know, and my dad wasn't there, you know, you get the idea, right? And I just, that is something I've come to appreciate now that I have that. And so, I mean, really, I'm just, it's a thank you to Josh, it's a thank you to Steve, it's a thank you to Jennifer, and just the ability to just enjoy the damn thing for, you know, for what's there, and that's okay, you know?
Yeah, and that's something that I didn't mention, but I'm glad you guys brought up, is that I saw all three of these movies with my family. You know, we went on opening night, and that was cool. Like, after Rise of Skywalker, my son was like, eh, but he's 13, and so it's kind of cool to, you know, whatever. Yeah. But my daughter was all about it. She was like, that was amazing! You know, it's just like, that's great, you know? Mm-hmm. And those are experiences that they've had, that we've had together. And I'm so thankful that we've got to have those. So as rushed as the movies might have been, according to Bob Iger and, you know, whomever else, the fact that they came out during this, you know, what was it? Was it 15 that Force Awakens came out? So this 4-year period? Was it that?
Yeah, 15, 17, 18. Every other year.
Yeah. You know, that's fantastic, and I'm so thankful that I got to have that. But yeah, let's continue.
We live in an age of wonders. You know, I was thinking about this a little tangential, but not, I mean, last summer, I was laying in a hammock in the backyard of my house, and I was watching the Twins game on my phone. And I thought, this is unbelievable. You know, like, we do all this, you know, it's like, you know, at the end of the last podcast, Darren was talking about reviewing Doomsday Clock and talking about the positivity that came out of that. But, like, we get bogged down in everything negative. And I'm as guilty of it. I've let it, you know, I've let it in discussions here. And all that stuff, and it's okay. It's okay to get drawn into that, right? I'm not judging me or anybody else, but we forget the pure joy that we're surrounded with the technology we have, and you know, and the other things that are around us in the world. Nature, by the way, I just want to mention nature. You know, it's
not that
really
there are deer that go past your house.
House every yeah.
Suddenly an expert on nature. I yeah. get it.
But I mean, really, you know, it's just something we don't. I'm in a hammock watching the Twins game on a phone. I mean, go back to 1978 and tell that to 9-year-old me, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, so the fact that we got to see these and do this is awesome.
Yeah, and we've got Anna Maria, I'll butcher your last name, I'm sorry, so I won't say it, but in the chat, just saying that, yeah, we should enjoy it as it is. It's, you know, they won't hit the story 100%, but just able to see these wonderful films that are being made. And I mean, that's honestly, that's it, you know? Think about when people went, I mean, when you went and saw it in 1977, Rich. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have clear memories from back then, but, you know, just imagine people going to see this movie and just being kind of blown away by it and how revolutionary it was for the time. And I don't know, am I jumping ahead? Or are we?
No,
or,
go ahead. You're, yeah.
It's just trying to think back to those that point and what that must have been like for people. Because now, yeah, it's like, all right, we go and see it, and there's all these cool special effects and stuff, but, you know, was there anything that we hadn't really seen before in these movies that people hadn't seen before when they saw the original trilogy, you know, episode 4 and so forth?
You know, Brad, this is okay, so this past Saturday, I had my my wife organized my 50th birthday party, and she rented out a theater at the second theater at the Fargo Theater, and we showed Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. One thing I was thinking about, had you seen Wrath of Khan before, Brad?
No, bits and pieces of it.
Okay.
But I don't think I've ever sat through start to finish the whole thing.
Without doubt, did you enjoy it? Was it?
Yeah, it was a good film. I mean, there's
some dated things.
Yeah, because of the way it was filmed and, you know, the fact that it's Trek and every time there's an explosion you can make fun of the bridge crew.
Yeah.
You know, that's something I enjoyed watching, but...
But what I was thinking about was how J.J. Abrams does action sequences as opposed to, like, how action sequences were done in Wrath of Khan, you know? Like, as an illustration, I'm going to the philosophy here of what's different, but, you know, I mean, you know, like one has... In the one movie, I don't know, does that context hit you, you know, like how those two are so different?
Sure, you know, well, you could tell the same story in a much simpler way with Wrath of Khan, whereas now people need, you know, these epic, yeah, like the final battle between the starships, they're floating in a frickin' cloud, and they're like, well, let's try and find the other ship so we can shoot at it. Whereas, like, you do that for, like, 10 minutes in a film now where you're, like...
Everybody's left the theater.
Two people with swords got to try and find each other, or two ships got to fight each other in a giant fog bank. They're like, no, we're not doing this.
You got about 5 seconds.
That's right. Impress me, old man. I can't keep up. But
so well, I guess, you know, the reason... It was just an interesting... I thought about that quite a bit, but, like... What I was thinking about in a broader sense was the time frames that the three trilogies were made in, and sort of like what that's. I'm a big believer, and we talked about this with comic podcasts since we started in 2011, and something like that. Art reflects culture. We know this, right? We this is a thing. It's not made up, We can talk a lot about the time something was made and then what it was. And specifically, I was thinking, you know, Last Jedi, it's sort of like, it's like it may not have always been for everybody the one they wanted, but it was the one they needed, you know, or whatever. Like, Last Jedi is so this era, right? Like, it's so Trump 2016 to 2020, right? I mean...
I'm not sure...
Because it delved right into politics, for all intents and purposes. Not like President Trump, but it delved into culture war stuff, right? Like, or it ended up in culture war stuff, whether it wanted to be or not. And that's where I just think of it as so of this era.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're getting at there. No, Last Jedi, it's very interesting because if we look at that, you know, Force Awakens came out, and people were like, oh... This, you know, it's Star Wars. There were a lot of people who were, it's basically episodes 4, 5, and 6 condensed into one movie, you know. But there wasn't a whole lot of, like, really big detractors. Like, it didn't have the vitriol and the just intensity that Last Jedi brought. And, you know, I've read a number of articles from different people on various sides of things with Last Jedi because it really, it is very interesting... Because Last Jedi does try to change things. Instead of... you know, you had the people who were like, okay, that was good, but, you know, let's not see more of the same. And then they got some very different things. And not what you were expecting, or not the way that people wanted it to be. And what that brought out in the fan base you know, I mean, we talked about it for quite a bit in various places. And it's just, it's fascinating because I remember there were a few moments in Force Awakens where I thought, well, that's kind of more modern humor, you know, but that's fine. Let's go with it. And then that was one of the big complaints that people had in Last Jedi was that it just felt too modern. There's, you know, they're using phrases and things that shouldn't be in a Star Wars movie. And it's like, well, it was okay. It wasn't a problem 2 years ago. Why is it now? You know, it's... But yeah, and then I read something, and I haven't looked into it more to see exactly how much of it is accurate and to what degree, but supposedly there were bots that were set up to post things about Last Jedi, like that people were actively trolling by having bots take things and repost it and up the ante on it. And so maybe our vision of what the response to Last Jedi is could be completely skewed. It could be completely... I mean, I know that there were people who were upset about it and didn't like it, but now there's a possibility that part of that was manufactured, and it's just, yeah, that's very much this era.
How about you, John? Do you have a... You know, do the trilogies stand out to you? Do you have any thoughts about, like, the... You know, do they, you know, like, when did you, you know, Darren found it late, when did you find it, and do they feel like they're products of certain eras as you look at the individual trilogies? Is there a central thought that jumps to mind?
I think it was sometime in the early, mid-90s when I first watched the original trilogy, 94 probably. I don't really remember if that was... I was about 9 or 10. Anyway. And obviously when I watched that then, I didn't know that, hey, this was like very of the 70s or late 70s and whatnot. But looking back on it, the movies do have a feeling of the era that they're made in. I can't recall any like specifics right now, but I do feel like the prequel trilogy did feel very, very 2000s. Like,
yeah, I think for me a big part of that is the burgeoning technology with digital and the effects and things. And, you know, you look back on it and it still looks good. But it was, yeah, that definitely seemed like that was kind of a hallmark for me, at least.
That's really what I had, yeah, the new technology being able to... To have, you know, droid armies easily on screen, and just each of the trilogies did seem to always bring in new technology into them, because especially with this most recent one, you have deceased actors who are still showing up on screen with their voices with fairly lifelike appearances.
Yeah, Brad, I guess, you know, I'm thinking a lot about the modern trilogy, the second two in particular, just being caught in a culture war that's happening, you know, in a way that I mean, do you think Attack of the Clones would have got caught in a culture war? You know what I mean? Like, what... And you and I spent a lot of time together during the prequel trilogy and going to them and playing card games and collecting and all that kind of jazz. And so, like, I was hoping you, in particular, might be able to talk about the prequel trilogy versus the sequel trilogy.
The prequels came, you know, it started out in 99, so that was the year I graduated from high school. We went, whatever it was it Friday night? But it would be Thursday night premiere. So we went to that midnight showing back when it was at Safari in the big theater, and then, you know, had to go to school the next day. Running on little sleep, but just, you know, the excitement of that, you know, finding those movies again. And, you know, Lucas at the time did it right, because he had, like, that 97, 98, here's the re-releases in theaters, you know, so it kind of, and those were the only times I've ever seen the first you know, 4 through 6 on the big screen was that way. And I was like, that's, you know, that's really cool. Sure, there was some edited stuff that we may not always be happy with.
But sorry.
That's fine. He gets stepped on and his eyes bug out. It's cool.
You just squish it.
That's right.
He's tiny.
So, you know, that was nice. And then we, you know, you go. And I think that's the interesting thing is you saw that 2 years before, or, you know, a year and a half before number one comes out. And it's just like, okay, we used models. You know, we turned the camera upside down to make it look like we're flying through tunnels because we were using models. And then we go to, like, you know, look at Padme's ship. It's like, this is what we can do with digital assets. We can make this ship silver and it can reflect everything that, you know, all the light that it catches in space. And it's not, that's not something I think you would have seen in the first trilogy. But then, yeah, the second trilogy, the prequels, I guess were, you know, my first experience watching them in the theater. And
when I think the prequels were, merchandising was not invented by the prequel trilogy, right?
No.
But the and the expanded universe was underway, Splinter of the Mind's Eye and the Zahn novels and some
sure.
comics.
Yep.
But that all just exploded. With the I mean, they took a $2 billion contract from Pepsi before the first movie even came out. You know, I mean that's how different it was. And if you go back, you'll find you go back to 77 Star Wars. There's Star Wars everything. I have a Darth Vader cake pan from like 1977 or 8. Right, so like it's not new. I don't mean that. So nobody jump on me or whatever. But like, there's just something about the prequel trilogy connected to the pure explosion of the marketing that stands out to me, if that makes sense.
Sure. And it's also, you know, the oddest film because it's all about the political machinations of a blockade against an innocent little forest planet. Like, what, you go back and you think about it, it's like, what is this film? Why do we all want these toys so badly? You know, it's like, I am so confused. We spent
recreate Senate hearings.
We spent so much time. We spent so much time in the Senate, and we were still just like, oh my god, that's amazing.
There's the Senate we've heard so much about. In that.
Look, there's little Yodas there, and there's ETs. It's like, oh my gosh. But yeah, like if you break down the prequel films for what, especially the first one, it's like, okay, this is pretty absurdist, but...
Were they trying to block stuff coming to Naboo or coming off of Naboo? Because, like, what does Naboo produce that they
We've never covered
it?
That. Okay. Did you have
seafood, apparently.
Maybe. Gungans. Yeah, we guess we never really covered that.
Darren, you talked about when you found the originals.
Yes.
There's a purity to those, especially the first one, that's different than just about every other thing in the 9 movies and sides, right? Does that make sense? Is there something, you know, what do you think about when you think about the originals versus now? I didn't mean to totally set you up.
No,
like,
that's okay.
I mean, there was
well, with the original, there was no expectation of, you know, I don't know whether I talked to you about this, but, I mean, it's common knowledge. They expected it maybe to play a few weekends as a Saturday morning popcorn movie and be gone. And that was it. And he just wanted to make a sci-fi movie like he loved Flash Gordon when he was a kid. This is George Lucas I'm talking about. And so there was no expectation. Now there's a lot of expectation. So to me, that's, you know, two of the biggest... That's one of the biggest things, is the difference between the first one and the last one.
Do you think that 4 had all of this goodwill because it's this little idiot moisture farmer that we then follow as he discovers, you know, what the Force is? But then, you know, by the time we hit issue, you know, episode 6, and then 1 through 3, 7 through 9, it's like, we know what the Force is.
Yeah.
You can wow us with a new Force power once in a while, but this kid discovering what the Force is and how to actually use it, like, I think that's a unique experience you can't get any of the 8 other films, because it's like, we're just like, what is the Force? There's this crazy old hermit man that, like, my aunt and uncle don't want me to go talk to, but, like, somehow I gotta go talk to him, he knew my dad, like, what is this? And we're just like, You just wanted to go to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters. What's going on?
Well, it's funny. When you guys, Rich, when you brought up that question to Darren there, it got me thinking a little bit about it. And there is an image. I think a lot of people would be familiar with it, you know, in episode 4, where, you know, it's kind of dusk. The twin suns are setting. Luke is, like, staring off into the distance very wistfully. And the main theme is coming across, you know, just very lightly, very, you know. And that image sums up, to me, a lot of that first trilogy. Mm. Like, it's just looking out and knowing that there is this whole big world. Like, he's on this little desert planet, moisture farming. His biggest concern is getting to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters and play with his friends. But he knows that there's more out there. And, you know, this is something that I was discussing with my wife recently. We were talking about the latest trilogy and, you know, where some of the complaints I had about it, not complaints, but, you know, just my wishes. And one of my biggest wishes for it, or the things that I wish they hadn't done, was retread all, like, the old characters. You know, it's like, I get that people wanted to see Luke again. I know you want to see Han. I know you want to see Leia and Chewie and all those guys, because they were so cool and they were such a part of your lives. But for me, I wanted new. I wanted the universe to expand more. And thinking about it, I didn't really get into the original trilogy until about high school, when I started playing the West End Games D6 role-playing game with a bunch of buddies. I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of know Star Wars. It's always been there, but I never really watched it. So I watched it, fell in love with it, and I got everything. I got all these books, you know, the Thrawn trilogy and all the tales from the Jabba's palace, and, you know, these books about just the vehicles and the starships and stuff, and just learned and sucked in all of this this stuff. And so for me, Star Wars has always been very open. It's been very exciting to experience new things and to get a taste of something, so that, you know, it's like, there's an ice planet called Hoth. We're on there for X amount of time. We know this much about it, but that's something real. It, you know, like, I know that now. I know what Hoth is. And I you know, that's something that I, at least with the last movie, I feel like I didn't really get, because they were trying to tie up so many loose ends. That it's just like, jump around here, we're doing all this stuff. Here's a new planet, but, you know, what's the name of it? And Rich, you and I talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
And I get that not everybody needs that, but for me, that's something that was missing. It's like, everybody can, what's the name of the casino planet they went to? You might hate that sequence, but everybody knows it's Canto Bight. tell me the name of that desert planet that they went to, where there was all, like, the...
Kijimi.
No, Kijimi was...
Ah, dang it, Pisana! It's Masana. Well, no, I don't disagree. I mean,
But that's something that I never really thought about. And for me, Star Wars is about opening up a very large universe.
See, so I'm going to take just a slightly opposite. I mean, no, I think that's awesome. So this is not meant to, but it's weird for me. Of the two, Star Trek feels like the open universe, and Star Wars doesn't. And, like, I don't like Star Wars Expanded Universe very much. I'm not that interested. I don't know why, but Star Wars feels like a story that has a beginning and a middle and an end very specifically. I'll use Rogue One as an example. Rogue One is one of my least favorite Star Wars movies, and I've watched it again recently, and I liked it more than I originally did. But, you know, nonetheless, like, it's because for me it was a story that I didn't need to know. What all I needed to know was the tape was in R2-D2 and you needed to use the tape to destroy the Death Star. Personally, I don't need the explanation of who got the tape, where it came from, how it got there. I find that as a storyteller unnecessary and fairly uninteresting. But whereas, like, with Star Trek, there's no beginning, middle, and end. It's this big universe, you know, this big galaxy that can be explored by anybody in different ways. And there's a few rules. You got to have a starship and the Federation, and the Klingons are probably you know, but that's about it. But Star Wars is, you know, we're fighting to destroy the Empire, carried over into this, right? And and so that, it's weird. For me, I'm not that interested in the rest of it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think that speaks to everyone's unique experience with it and where you came in, and
John, how about you? Like, what do you think about the, well, that or anything? What's caught your?
I I also, when the books were coming out and the EU books, I was really into them. Rogue Squadron.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I enjoy Rebels and Clone Wars, the animated series. They're really good. I like to take it all in and. Yeah. I don't have a lot to say about that, but I do enjoy learning more and what else is out there. And with the RPGs, they have where you just play smugglers in the Outer Rim area or whatever you want to do. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to me, that's not Star Wars. Star Wars, again, it's Empire versus Rebellion and my main characters versus certain main bad guys. And so when I watch other stuff in Star Wars, because I know it isn't going to change that central story, mm-hmm. that's where I get very disinterested in it. Whereas in Star Trek, I mean, there's big Star Trek stories, but then it's just broad. Mm-hmm. And so you do a story over here, and it doesn't affect, you know, I can believe in it. It can have weight and meaning to me because it doesn't, you know, like I know this story isn't about destroying the Death Star 2, and so I don't really care. That's my Star Wars problem. Whereas in Star Trek, you don't really have that, right? Because there's no one story that defines Star Trek that way. So, I don't know.
There's also quite a lot more Star Trek than there is Star Wars.
That's fair, yeah.
Star Wars has started as a series.
Yeah.
You know,
But I think Rich is right. Like, Trek was generated as an episodic thing where it's like, planet of the week, well, what's going to be there? Whereas, you know, you go into Star Wars and you're expecting this grand, you know, majestic thing you don't expect, like, one of your, you know, few movies you're going to get in your lifetime to be about Barkley in the freaking hollow room, you know, and it's like, okay, that was a filler episode I don't need, but you were okay when you got that next gen, because it's like, it's character development. Mm-hmm. And just these obscure, you know, background characters that aren't his main crew, you know, got their time, whereas this one, you want, like, you want to see a lightsaber somewhat regularly. You want to see it get swung at stuff. You want, you know, you want to see fights. You don't want to.
Well, and it's interesting too. You know, to your point, Rich, like Rogue One. I enjoyed it. I liked it, but it's not a story I necessarily needed.
Yep.
Same thing with Solo. When that was coming out, I was like, I don't care. I know who Han Solo is in this movie. And that's cool. I don't need to know. Remember how great it was when we found out that Anakin built C-3PO? Everyone was so excited to learn that piece. And that wasn't something we needed. Mm-hmm. Solo movie wasn't something I needed, but I'll be jiggered if I didn't enjoy that movie. I've saw it actually a couple of times in the theater, because I went by myself one day when I had an opportunity to go see some movies. And then I went again with my family. And, you know, I've watched it on whatever streaming Netflix had it, I think, and it was enjoyable. It did add some more to the universe. It's like, the one thing I don't like about it is how he gets his last name. That's a dumb thing that I refuse to believe is actually true.
No, it's in the movie. It's canon.
It's canon.
When you have like characters that are Skywalkers and Organas and it's Solo is just, it's not because you don't have a people, then it's Solo, I'm an Imperial guy. Whatever. Yeah, I'm sorry to remind you of that. But yeah, so it's like, I totally get your point, because there are some of those things where but again, it's like, here's the character, I already have the character, I've seen the character do things, I don't need to get their backstory. You know, there's enough of little bits and pieces that have been picked up from the expanded universe that I'm fine. It's like, show me more stuff. Let's go back to the Knights of the Old Republic. Let's see some more of those stories. Let's jump ahead a few millennia and see what happens to the universe, you know, instead of this 14-year gap where suddenly nobody remembers the Jedi exist. It's like...
Yeah. No, you've made that point a lot, and I agree with that. I think that was I think they should have gone... I want to shout out to Aaron Sparks and Anna Maria for having a hell of a good conversation.
I know. It's
in the comment thread. I keep trying to pause to do this. So I'm just going to pause and do it. But But you made this point well, and I think you're right. Like, we should have skipped ahead 100 years, and we could have talked about Luke as myth then or something and never been stuck with having to have him in the movie or anything like that. On the other hand, I think that the way they should have gone if they were going to use him, this, I don't know. It just feels like a missed opportunity from a marketing at any level to not have them all be larger-than-life heroic mm-hmm. characters that everybody would have been happy to see. You could still all do all the stuff you did in Last Jedi. That's fine, and you could go in that direction, but maybe the main characters should have been a little untouchable and then a little more in the background somehow, yeah. right? And they wouldn't even have to be a big part of it, just acknowledged. And then there could have been cool Luke Jedi Master action figures and all that sort of stuff. And that's the weird thing from just making money. Like, I think of these things as an entertainer now. I want everybody to walk in my store and be happy and buy something, right? And I feel like there would have been more sales on Jedi Master Luke stuff than on Octu Luke stuff. That's all. I'm not criticizing it. It just seems like that was a weird thing. That's, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 10 more minutes here before we really want to finish up. I feel like I've talked quite a bit, so I hope I haven't been monopolizing the conversation too much.
I think the bottom line is we want to know, do you feel like this saga is over? Do you feel like Rise had too much to do, right? Like, it had to, like, finish a trilogy, finish 9 movies, and unite the fan base. That's all it had to do, right? You know, not much. Yeah, so, I mean, did you have a feeling walking out of there like, hey, I can put Star Wars to bed, or I'm happy with where it started, where it ended for me, you know, that anything that you thought?
The cynic in me says, are they going to make another 3? You know, is the Emperor is he really dead? You know what I mean? Because we all thought he was dead at the end of Return.
I'm sure we'll get a show movie about his rise to power.
Yeah, so I struggle with that. I want it to be the last one, but it is part of me thinks it's not going to be. You know?
Have you heard the crazy rumor?
No.
Have you guys heard the crazy rumor?
I don't think I've heard the crazy rumor.
The crazy rumor on the internet is that Rey is pregnant with Skywalker twins. So, okay, so they think that she got force impregnated by Ben Solo either when she heals him, when they're battling at some point like that, right? Well, okay, this is stupid, but here's why. There's the scene where this is going to be spoilers big time. Yep. There's the scene where Ben is gonna you know, like, seems like he's gonna mourn her, right?
Yeah.
But then he hesitates, like, he's sad or whatever, then he hesitates and it looks like he realizes something, and then he's like more sad, and that seems to be the moment that tilts him to doing what he does, right? Keeping a little vagary. Does everybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
So this theory is based on that, and then where she goes at the end, that they think she's going there because she knows, you know, and she's going to have kids and raise them.
Sure.
So it's based on almost nothing.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But no. This theory has flown around the internet like crazy, actually.
No,
so.
Ben's grandfather didn't know he was having twins, and he was supposed to be some all-powerful Jedi, so I ain't buying it. Nope. Yeah. That would be one of my gripes, is the ending scene, why Ben is not a Force ghost.
Yeah,
that's one of the only gripes.
Maybe as well,
the ones that affected Rey.
Yeah,
like to me, sure. Like, how is, like, unless you're gonna say it, what, I mean, they've messed it all up since Anakin was able to appear after he went to the dark side. So if you're trying to claim Kylo can't show up, be like, no, you already did that one.
That's the
only thing. You know, if I was gonna make, like, if that's gonna be the stump that I you know, just preach upon. If this is going to be my Batman versus Superman Martha, it's like, why was Kylo not a ghost at that point? Mm-hmm. You know, just
he
for that.
Yeah. Away, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, just for that, like, 15 seconds or whatever. It's like, how does that... did not plan that?
Yeah, and then you have to wonder, were they going with something like how Palpatine was saying, that all the Sith are in me, so when he healed her, did his, like, Force essence become a part of her, and that's why she truly is she is a Skywalker now, because she's of that lineage, because he lives inside of her in a Force sense. Who
that's kind of where the twins, well, the dyad thing is, so there's a line in the movie about the creation of life from the, you know, the Emperor says it, or Kylo says it, about the Force dyad being something like a force of life or something like that. I don't remember the line, so
yeah.
You know, and actually, that would be just, this is going to be verging into too much minutia. Never mind. So, John, how about you?
What?
Rise. The whole nine movies. Satisfied?
I already gave them. You called on me like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know. Oh, that's true.
Like right. I don't really have much more.
Okay. Alright. No, fair enough. So
I almost watched the prequels this weekend, but I couldn't quite do it. I saw some clips and I was like, oh no. In my head, they're all prequels. There's just six movies.
I'm wondering if there was an ending where, because there was rumors they shot seven endings. Who knows, right? First of all, I was thinking about that stuff. It's like, they may have shot seven endings in every movie ever made, but now everything's on Twitter 24/7, right? So we know stuff we didn't know before. So I just take all that with a grain of salt. But, like, I wonder, what if Ben comes up, you know, from the pit and he finds, you know, Rey's... Spoilers! Rey's dad, the Emperor's dad, and all this stuff, right? What if he doesn't heal her? Like, right? Like, what if, like, he lives with, well, I'm the last Skywalker, but I wasn't the chosen one. She did this. And then he goes off to Tatooine, and the last scene is him, like, burying the lightsabers. Like, to me, that almost would make more sense, right? And have, like, kind of a interesting, fitting thing to it that the galaxy thinks of Rey as the hero who did all this, and now Ben just gets, the Skywalkers get to just slip off into obscurity to just, and he gets, his redemption is, he tried to be the ruler of the galaxy, and now he just wants to be left the hell alone, you know? Something about that arc really appeals to me as possibly an alternate ending, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. For me, in terms of the whole thing being, you know, the Skywalker saga, three trilogies, nine movies, you know, it's funny, even though we had 4, 5, and 6, and then 1, 2, and 3, that were all about the Skywalkers, I never actually thought of Star Wars as the Skywalker story. And again, I think a large part of that is because I got so into the expanded universe and there was so much more for me, that when they were coming up to episode 9, they're like, this is going to finish the whole Skywalker saga. And I'm like, it's just Star Wars, isn't it? So I had to adjust my thinking to that. And adjusting it to that, I can see it as, you know, it's a fine ending to a saga. But that makes me sad, the idea that there won't be more Skywalker stories, like, in the future, you know? Not necessarily more Rey stories or what happens to Ben Solo or whatever. But it's, and that's kind of weird to me, that the door is closed on Skywalker. Like, but, you know, thinking about it, Shmi Skywalker, Anakin's father, who was, for all accounts and purposes, impregnated with the Force, she supposedly didn't, there wasn't anything leading up to her in terms of the lineage and the Force and everything there. So I guess it all makes sense that they bring it to a close. But yeah, that was a weird moment for me when they announced that, and I kind of had to go, oh, well, I guess they have this period of time that's like, what, three generations? Two generations? Yeah, three, from essentially. And that's it. For Skywalkers, like, I don't know.
Obviously, I'm a little opposite because I love. Yeah. I mean, Star Wars was Luke Skywalker for me. Luke, Han, you know, the core characters. But I, Josh, that was their marketing plan. They wanted you to go. So that, no, I don't know.
Well, and yeah, I mean, obviously, the door is never closed because there's so many stories you can tell in the middle. They can easily have Skywalker characters later on because Rey took on the mantle.
You're not going to Disney Plus me.
I don't know what that means, but I wasn't planning to.
John Boyega gave an interview and they asked him if he'd be back as Finn, and he said, they're not going to Disney Plus me. So.
What a weird thing to say.
It's kind of funny, but yeah. So, Brad.
Yes?
This is the other thing that I thought about. How do you think the modern trilogy... Do you think the modern trilogy had as much cultural resonance even as the prequels? I'm not talking the quality of the movies at all. You know, does that mean anything? You know, the either way.
I think the current trilogy got stuck in a very odd place where its media has become disposable. Like, okay, new movie comes out, we'll talk about it for 2 weeks, then we're done. You know, whereas, like, episode one came out, you know, we could all pick flaws out of episode one all we want. But, you know, you'd still, 5 years later, talk about how cool the Duel of the Fates was. Like, that was a well-filmed scene. People love that. Whereas, like, I don't know how much longer than, you know, like, 6 months there's going to be social media relevance for the current, you know, any of the current Star Wars films. Like, they have their thing, they're disposable, we've used them, we're done with them. And I think that's part of the generational divides that they were raised in. You know, like, there you have all those old news clips of people that were like, I want to see, you know, episode 4 10 times in the theater because I loved that film. And that was, like, the only way they could experience it. Then by right around the time of the prequels coming out, everything was on VHS. So you could watch it as often as you want at home. But once again, it became personal. Then we had, you know, the prequels in the theater, and it became that experiential thing again. We're like, we're all going to go to the theater. We're going to sit. We're going to watch the same film. We all love it. You know, we're hoping to love it because it was the, you know, the goodwill of the first three movies made. But then I think they tried again with The Force Awakens. I think that's why it ended up being such a, you know, large film. It's just everybody was hoping for that experience over again. But then it's 2015 and all media is quickly disposed of because there's something new to jump onto, to talk about, to bemoan. What other actors and actresses can we make jump off of social media because we're horrible people? That's another quote that I found that we haven't brought up yet is, Disney didn't ruin Star Wars, the fans did. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, Disney didn't force any of their actors off of any forms of social media. Yeah. But it is the fans that have pushed multiple people from the current Star Wars franchise off of social media.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. Darren, my last basically question is, when I saw, I'm like Josh, I liked Solo, so take this comment with a grain of salt, and I'm not picking on that movie at all. But when I saw Solo, the one thing that I realized while watching it, for the first time ever, Star Wars didn't feel special to me. And I don't know if that's maybe the difference, or maybe, like, I'm 50. I don't know if anything feels special to me because I'm an old man. But, you know, I don't know if anybody else feels like that, but I worry that it was something that had, because there was so little of it, like you mentioned, you know, how much Star Trek there was, whichever, you know, versus Star Wars, right? Like, it had a uniqueness and a specialness, and I worry that it's not special anymore. Does that make sense?
I'm not going to cut Darren off, but I sort of am. So, you're telling me that the Ewok movies made you feel special, but Solo didn't?
No! I'm just asking! But the thing about them is the Ewok movies came out at a time where I couldn't just watch a Star Wars movie on my phone at a whim.
Sure.
That, you know, that meaning that when something like that came along, it actually was special in and of itself because there was nothing else. You know, there wasn't The Witcher, followed by Lost in Space, followed, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Actually. I'm not defending the Ewok movies.
So what was your question again?
I'm sorry.
Do you think Star Wars is still special?
It is to me, but not all of it. The last trilogy was definitely special to me for lots of reasons. Sidetracking, Mandalorian is not special to me. I only watched that for two reasons, and that's Mando and the baby Yoda. Everything else, you could just throw that away. It's difficult. I mean, like, this. You ask me in another 10 years' time when we've got, like, more movies. And, you know.
No, right now the answer is yes.
Yes.
Brad, is Star Wars still special?
Yes, I think as long as if you want it to be special, it'll be special. If you want to nitpick it and rip it apart, I think that's what you're gonna do. But if you go in wanting it to mean something to you, I think it will, and I think it does.
John?
I agree with that right there. If, like I said, I go in with a childlike wonderment, being like, trying to pretend that I'm, you know, 12 years old and seeing all these cool things happen.
Josh?
Yeah, Star Wars is still special to me. Maybe not all of it, but it's still a big part of my life. I think back to those formative years playing. I mean, even when I was a child, playing with the toys. Even though I have vague recollections of seeing Return of the Jedi in the theaters, I played with the toys, and I loved them, and there was Star Wars, and it was on TV, and then it just became more and more during certain points in my life, and it's hard to let go of that, and to say that, well, because there's more Star Wars now, means that there's less Star Wars, doesn't add up to me. It's not maybe all going to have the same effect, each movie to the next, each series to the next, but I mean, you brought up The Mandalorian. I love The Mandalorian.
I want to love The Mandalorian.
But it reminds me of those role-playing sessions, where these are the characters we played, and these are the stories that we told. And to see that, and, they bring out, here's an E-Web blaster, and I'm like, that's exactly what that is, I have the stats for that, that's still big to me. And I'm looking forward to seeing what else comes out, knowing that, yeah, maybe the next one isn't going to hit me quite the way Mandalorian did, but maybe it'll be more for me than Rise of Skywalker,
Yeah, no, my question wasn't a setup, because I was going to say that it's still special to me also. It may have sounded like I was going in the opposite direction, but I think it will forever be that 1977 brand new thing that changed everything, and there's always an element to that when you see something Star Wars that, I don't know if it can ever be bastardized away or not, so...
Yeah, and I think this wraps around nicely. Way back, shortly after we started, we had a comment on Twitch. I don't know if DonkeyPhone 13 is still on. But they agreed that, Rise of Skywalker felt a bit rushed. But that said, they've seen every Star Wars in the theater and continue to watch everything Star Wars until they're dead. Star Wars is in my soul, I'm quoting directly, in a way that not much else is. And I think that sums it up pretty nicely.
Yeah, and we can argue about it. And the fact that a movie like Last Jedi drew out so much passion shows that how special Star Wars is. You don't get that upset about something you don't really care about.
Right.
What, good, bad, or ugly, So.
All right. Well, thank you, folks, for all of you who joined in the chat here, watching us live. Absolutely love it. There's a lot of good discussion to have on Star Wars.
That's Aaron Sparks.
Oh, you are. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought so, but I wasn't sure.
It sounded familiar to me, too. I was like, wait a second.
All right. Well, thanks, Aaron, for that excellent comment. We hope that you guys enjoyed this particular podcast. If you are watching us live, we do have another one coming up in just a couple minutes. We're going to talk about 2020 and the things that we're excited about, that we know about, that are coming next year. But for the time being, we'd love to hear more of your thoughts, as always, about Star Wars in general, Rise of Skywalker in specific, any of that. So find us online. We are on Facebook, of course. We're also at ParadoxCNC on Twitter, ParadoxCNC on Instagram, and ParadoxCNC.com is the website you can go to see what's all going on at the store, read some good blogs, and get all sorts of good content that way. So, thank you again for tuning in, and we will see you on the next DoxCast.
This was a DoxCast. Hope you think it rocks cast. Oh, look at the clocks cast. Until next time, geek on.